Good morning, and welcome to RB's Q1 trading update conference call. I will take you through a summary of today's announcement, and then Adrian Hennah, our CFO, and I will be pleased to take your questions. Remember that this is a trading update only rather than a full set of results. I have three key messages for you today. Firstly, our strategic focus on health and hygiene has delivered a good start to the year with a combined like-for-like growth of 7% in Q1. Secondly, Project Supercharge is energizing our business and is helping us to become a more efficient company. Thirdly, with a strong start to the year, we are fully on track to deliver our full-year targets. I want to share some key observations from the trading update. In ENA, we have seen strong performances from many of our healthcare brands, including Scholl, Durex, Nurofen, Strepsils, Move-Free, and Airborne. This has helped offset the headwind from some of the large launches made during Q1 last year on Mucinex and Megared. We have also benefited from two other factors during this quarter: a strong flu season and softer-than-expected volume slowdown in Russia. So ENA has done really very well this quarter, even if this creates a strong comparator for next year. In DVM, India continues to improve, but market and competitive conditions in Brazil remain challenging. We expect developing markets to remain mixed in the near term. From a category perspective, I've already mentioned that a stronger flu season has benefited our consumer health brands. However, the underlying performance remains strong and reinforces why we value these categories so highly, even if this double-digit growth trajectory may not be sustainable for the remainder of the year. In hygiene, our performance in developing markets was strong, with growth coming from most brands, but particularly Dettol and Harpic, as we drive innovation and focus on penetration improvement programs. This strong growth was offset by weakness in Finish in ENA. I'm confident about the underlying health of our brands in this category and the opportunity to drive long-term growth. After a strong Q4 in 2014, Homes had slowed down in Q1. Air Wick experienced a tough start after the sell-in of our LifeSense innovation during Q4 of 2014. The early in-market results are encouraging. Vanish continues to perform well behind innovation, such as Vanish Gold and Vanish Super Bar. Finally, with respect to the outlook for the full year, our Q1 performance gives us the confidence to reiterate our full-year targets of +4% like-for-like net revenue growth and moderate to nice adjusted operating margin expansion. With that, Adrian and I will now be pleased to take your questions. Can I have the first question, please?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to ask a question. We are going to take our first question from Erik Sjögren from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Erik Sjögren from Morgan Stanley here. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, just on the home category, obviously slowed compared to the second half of last year. Apart from the changes in Air Wick with the sell-in and so on, is there anything you feel has changed in the underlying market, the competitive environment here, etc.? And then secondly, on Supercharge, I mean, obviously it's very early days, but are there any more kind of details that you can share about how the initial part of the program are progressing? Thanks.
Right. I don't think anything has changed in the home market. The home market, as such, is not as high-growing as health and hygiene. We've said that on many occasions, and it remains the case. Home market also has a very significant component of ENA or developed markets. Underlying home markets have always been tough for the last six, eight quarters. Our brands in home markets, however, have done overall better in the case of Vanish. And in Airwick, I would say we worked very hard to bring some exciting innovation to the market. We introduced a license, I would say, late last year, which we benefited from in Q4. And we are seeing early encouraging results. But I don't think there is a fundamental change in the market conditions, in competitive conditions in home, with the exception of, I would say, in Latin America, where Vanish is clearly having a significant competitive battle in the marketplace. But by and large, I don't see a major change in competitive conditions in home. On Supercharge, I think, Eric, as you just said, it is early days. All I would say is being embraced by the organization with energy, with enthusiasm, is the kind of thing Reckitt Benckiser likes to do, which is take a new challenge on, climb the new mountain, and look for a completely new thing to do. And I think the whole company is at it right now. That's what I would say. It's at it. You know, it's early days to tell you, what the financial impact for this quarter or the next quarter will be. But I think I would just say that it's a really nice momentum for RB to energize our people.
Great. Thank you very much.
We are going to take our next question from Martin Deboux from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, gentlemen. It's a very technical one, probably for Adrian. Adrian, FX outlook for the year. I think you said a 1% headwind at Q4. FX at Q1 looked a little bit worse than certainly I was thinking. Do you want to say anything new about full-year FX guidance?
Well, thank you, Martin. Yes, if you were to take the we quoted the 31st of January rates when we did our full-year numbers. If they were to have lasted for the full year, what would the effect on exchange be? If you were to take the 31st of March rates for the full year, there would be a headwind of about -1% to -2% on net revenue, which is pretty much in line with what we said for the full year at the 31st of January rates. And we expect a slightly higher headwind on profit, mainly due to the widely divergent movement in the euro and the dollar and where we earn our profit. So it's a pretty much the same position as when we did the full year numbers, Martin. Obviously, through the year, it varies a bit because you've got to look at the past years, but that's the full year guidance.
Okay, it's really helpful. Thank you.
We are going to take our next question from Toby McCullagh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi there, morning. Two questions on health, if I can. I guess the first is that there's a lot of moving parts in the health business this quarter, including strong flu season, the tough sell-in comps, I think also the re-entry of private label Mucinex, et cetera. And as you've alluded to, 13% or double digit isn't really probably going to be the run rate on growth for the rest of the year. And whilst I appreciate it's difficult to include or exclude specific things, but ex all of the seasonal or timing-related issues, what do you think your underlying rate of growth in the health division is at the moment? And then separately, but also on health, in terms of M&A, I guess it's been fairly quiet for a year or so now, yet you talk about being a consolidator of a very fragmented market. Is the quietness down to a lack of availability or price, or what's going on there, please?
Right. So, Toby, thank you for the questions. I think the first one is clearly about the short term, and the other one is quite medium term and long term question. So let's just take the first one. I would say that the growth rate in the first quarter on health is a broad based growth rate, and not to call out a strong flu season would also not be right. There is a flu season impact. There is an impact from last year's strong sell-in on Mucinex. We called all those things out. But I think the underlying story on health remains a strong story. We have done really well on healthcare brands. It's a broad-based performance. We've done well across our seasonal and non-seasonal brands like Durex and Nurofen are non-seasonal brands. And we've done well on non-seasonal brands, but we have also done well on the seasonal brands. So I would say that without quoting and without really also being that brilliantly financial about what exactly the benefit of flu versus non-flu, which is never a perfect one anyway, I think the main story for us is to say that our healthcare focus is the right focus. We are outperforming the healthcare growth by a wide margin, actually. And we continue to focus very strongly on both innovating in this market, but also in solidifying our entries in new markets, like we have done in the case of Scholl by expanding its presence in the U.S., in Latin America, in China. When you come to the larger question of M&A, we've been quiet for a year. I think the last M&A we did was on the KY brand, which still hasn't had its first anniversary, I think. But it's clear that we haven't done anything from KY. And I think we are not in a hurry to write the next check here. I think the important thing is to keep focusing on doing the right M&A and to look at the right opportunity from both strategic but also from a value creation point of view. We believe that the opportunity for M&A in health, because of the very nature of the market, of the fragmentation in this market, will continue to be available. The question for us is which one we want to participate in and what is the right value opportunity for those that come through. I don't believe that the market has dried up. We continue to look at many M&As. The question for us is always, will we do better for our shareholders with the opportunity we want to go for and at what price? And these opportunities will keep coming our way, and we will keep asking ourselves this question and then making the right calls as we get them. But I don't think you should, for yourselves, go away with the idea that somehow the opportunity is dried up, just because we haven't done one for 8 months or whatever.
Great, thanks.
We are going to take our next question from Catherine Tate from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Most might have been answered, but perhaps you could give a couple of comments on pricing. I think you guys have illustrated pretty strong pricing power with your brands and innovations, but are you seeing any additional pressure in any of your segments or geographies or any sort of particular change in trajectory there?
Well, on pricing, what we can say is that overall the growth was split. First of all, both price and volume growth in the quarter, and the split was roughly 75% volume to 25% price, and slightly higher price growth in developing markets proportionally to ENA. In terms of trend changes in pricing, no, we haven't. I mean, lots of speculation that with commodity price tailwinds and so on around, would we see changes in competitive behavior in different parts of the world? No, we haven't really, to be honest. At the moment, I would say the pricing dynamic in aggregate, I mean, clearly it varies in different places specifically, but in aggregate it's pretty much the same.
Great, thanks very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. We are going to take our next question from Charles Tick from Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, gentlemen. I wonder with the hygiene operations whether you could split out the Finnish pipeline fill effect in terms of how that held the like-for-like back in Q1 of this year. And wonder, too, if you could say a little bit more, please, about Russia and Brazil, what your experiences have been there, and also how you're progressing with the sale of that Russian hospital supplies business.
Well, I think the first question was on hygiene and what was the sort of year-on-year effects of launches. We're not going to quantify it for you, Charles. I mean, we did note that there was a material launch of Power and Pure in the first quarter last year, which has had a little bit of effect on the year-on-year growth rate. But frankly, there's not any more detail we can give you on that. I think you asked then about Russia and Brazil. Yeah, Russia, we pointed out that in quarter four of last year, there was a very big sale in Russia affected by expectations of price increases and a lot of stocking by the trade and indeed by consumers in Russia, and that we'd expected a much softer volume in the first quarter. That didn't really happen. We have been surprised by how well volume held up in the first quarter of the year in Russia, along with significant price increases taken by the whole trade and including ourselves. We do point out in the trading update that's not a reason to extrapolate from that for the full year. There clearly are a number of volatilities in Russia, but certainly in the first quarter we were pleasantly surprised by how volume held up. You highlight Brazil. Again, we call that out in the trading update. Both in the sense that the market is weak. We're seeing that. We're seeing others reporting the same thing. And as Rakesh highlighted in an answer to an earlier question, there are some, you know, some particular competitive issues in Brazil at the moment. So Brazil and LATAM in general is one of the slightly weaker parts of our geographies. And I've forgotten what your last question was.
It was to do with the Russian hospital supplies business, how you're progressing with the sale of that.
We're on track. We're working on it. Obviously, we're not going to say anything specific around it, though, until it's done.
Okay. Thank you very much. I mean, it's not possible to say what the Russian volume growth came down to, is it, in Q1?
No, we're not going to split out Russia between volume and price. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can I just add one thing to what Adrian just said? I think we did expect some softness in volume in Russia because of pricing, but I think there are two other factors that I think it's helpful to remember. First of all, we have a material business, a healthcare business in Russia, and that business is both doing well as the season has been good. The other thing to remember is that we did put some go-to-market changes about 12 odd months ago with the integration of the erstwhile Medcom consumer business with our RB business. And I must say that the new go-to-market machine that we have in Russia is now being very well oiled, as a result of which our underlying brand performances and our business performance in Russia remains a good business performance. So, well, we are happy about the fact that the volumes have held up relatively well, but I think there are some other factors too. A, our business performance has been a good business performance. Our go-to-market integration has done well for the business and augurs well. And of course, there has been a good healthcare season together with good healthcare brand performances. So all in all, Russia was a good number. It would appear that there are no other questions. Thank you very much for joining our call today, and we'll wrap up now. Thank you.